Yo, what up, 101.1, The Answer, Doc Washburn back in the house. A lot of stuff to talk about. A United States Senator from Arkansas gets something right, so the mainstream media is jumping all over him and ignoring the death threat against him. That's coming up. Also coming up, update on that audit about the lectern or podium, as the case may be, and the governor yesterday. But first of all, you know, the elephant in the living room, a lot of people don't want to talk about in Little Rock, Arkansas. And a lot of people who don't listen to this show still don't know happened. Was the ATF shooting and killing the director of our airport. Now, I found out today that some of our state legislators do want to talk about it. The first elected leader in Arkansas that broke the embargo, the apparent embargo, I'm talking about the ATF murdering, in my opinion, Brian Malinowski, because they didn't have to do it the way they did it. And if you know the facts of the case, you know they didn't have to do it that way. Anyway, the first elected leader in Arkansas to talk about it, Attorney General Tim Griffin. And now there are a number of legislators who probably have been talking about, okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to handle this for several days, perhaps even weeks? So my friend Jay Graylin, pardon me, I love mispronouncing names. No, I don't really love it. I just do it sometimes. My friend Jay Graylin, who has the column over at Substack called Maumel Monitored. Maumel Monitored is out today with an update. Arkansas legislators will gather for a press conference at the state capitol on Thursday to demand answers from the ATF about the morning agents broke into the home of the head of the Little Rock Airport and killed him in exchange of gunfire. Now, I keep forgetting to give the phone number in case you want to get into the conversation. Now, they say these things like riding a bike. You don't forget how to do it. And I got a lot of positive feedback from our inaugural show last night. People saying, hey, man, it's like you never left. 2.5 years later, it's like you never left. Thank you. The one thing I'm kind of rusty on is saying, hey, if you want to get into the conversation, number to call is 501-823-0965. Producer Steve, is that number on the website somewhere? Okay, good. We got an affirmative from Producer Steve on that. 501-823-0965. Back to Jay Graylin at Maumel Monitored. Brian Malinowski, executive director of the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport, the two names that someday will be taken off that airport, maybe not in my lifetime, but someday they will. Executive director of Little Rock Airport since 2019, was shot in the head March 19th in his own home by the ATF and died 2 days later. ATF agents broke down Mr. Malinowski's front door before sunrise on March 19th in a failed attempt to execute a search warrant as Mr. Malinowski and his wife slept. The noise awakened Mr. Malinowski, who grabbed a weapon and encountered federal agents in a dark hall where they shot him. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives has released zero information in the month since agents forced their way into Mr. Malinowski's West Little Rock home. Now, Representative Matt Duffield of Russellville says, we want the truth. We want the body cam footage. His family deserves to see it. The people of Arkansas deserve to see it. We must learn what happened. You know what? I don't know Matt Duffield from Adam. Wouldn't know him if I saw him, if he walked into the studio. But one thing I know is he is dead on the money. As my dogs would say, he's keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying? Brother Steve is an important, Steve's my producer this evening. Is it important to always try to keep it 100? We got to keep it 100 up in this thing.
100% of the time.
Absolutely. And he's doing it. So I give him props for that. Meanwhile, back to Jay Greeland, Maumelle Monitored over in Substack. Y'all need to subscribe. It's only $4.17 a month. It says more than 20 members of the Arkansas legislature will join Representative Duffield, Senator Mark Johnson, Representative Marcus Richmond for the press conference, which will begin 15 minutes after both chambers adjourn Thursday, April 18th, in the second floor rotunda of the state capitol. I'm going to tell you something right now. When Jay Greeland says more than 20 members of the Arkansas legislature are going to join them, it should be 135 members. Don't tell me that this should be a partisan political thing. Every Republican and every Democrat in our Arkansas state legislature, we got 100 members in the House, we got 35 in the Senate. They should all say, hey, what is this? What do you mean you're not responding to Freedom of Information Act request? What do you mean you haven't put everything out there? I'll tell you one thing. If it was an officer involved shooting Little Rock Police Department or North Little Rock Police Department, they would have had to have put dash cams, body cams, all that stuff out there weeks ago. You know I'm right. You know what I'm talking about, too. I'll never forget the guy in the car who wouldn't get out, wouldn't show his hands, right? 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 12th Street, where 12th Street and Canis come together, across from, what was it, Valero? Is the parking lot across from there? Yeah. That one. Or North Little Rock. The teenagers. And the one kid trying to reach for his gun, and they had to shoot him. Oh, they put that body cam stuff out, dash cam stuff out. Caught a bunch of people in a lie, too. Remember that one? So what's up with this? Because you have the grieving widow saying, we didn't hear anybody identify themselves. We heard banging followed immediately by the loud crash of a front door being broken down. And that took something, too, because the Malinowskis lived in a 3,000-square-foot home out off Chenonceau Boulevard, out off of Chenal, way on out there. What do they call that part of town? Chenal Valley, right? It's nice out there. I mean, until they do what they do, take you out. But I digress. Jay Greeland, Maumelle Monitored on Substack, says Arkansas Attorney General Tim Griffin recently called on the ATF to release the body cam video footage. Bud Cummins, former U.S. attorney who's representing Mr. Malinowski's family, has provided video from the cross-the-street neighbor's Nest camera that captured 10 ATF vehicles approaching Mr. Malinowski's home. By the way, all of them unmarked. And from Mr. Malinowski's Ring doorbell that shows agents arriving at his front door and taping over the doorbell camera. Now, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I've always heard law enforcement people saying how wonderful dash cams and body cams are because they protect not only the citizen from someone who might be a rogue agent, someone who somehow or another might have slipped through the vetting process. Like those five cops in Memphis that beat that guy to death. You know what I'm talking about. Video went viral. But then they also protect the overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers that are clean as a whistle, just want to protect and serve, and go home in one piece every night to dinner with the spouse. And they don't want to be subject to any false allegations. Word? So that's what that's all about. So what does it tell you that buddies over at ATF are like, yeah, we don't care about any of that. We don't want anybody to see what we're doing. Putting a tape over the Ring doorbell camera video right here, right now. And y'all can just try to put the pieces together later on, posthumously, after we take your boy Brian out. What does that tell you? It's jacked up. And they know it is. And I said it before, I say it again, they were not counting on the Malinowski family retaining the services of Bud Cummins. And now they're like, oh, what have we gotten ourselves into? Oh, Bud Cummins. No, we don't want to. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Jay Greeland, Maumel monitored over Substack, says the family and the legislators want to know whether ATF agents knocked on the front door, whether they identified themselves, and whether they waited a sufficient amount of time after arriving before breaking down the door. Well, I can tell you right now. Because the widow said, beating on the door, followed by breaking the door down with no pause. 3,000 square foot home. I mean, does somebody, see, what I want to know is, did you have a bullhorn? How are they going to know who you are, man? Unless you got like something really loud to get the attention of somebody asleep. Because, now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I think most homes don't have the master bedroom where the foyer is. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the master bedroom right up against the front door. By the way, I was just handed this note. They're going to try to have the press conference tomorrow on the second floor overlooking the rotunda around 2. That's central time for our friends and fans here in the natural state of Arkansas. Around 2. It's like 15 minutes after the both houses wrap things up. And what are they doing tomorrow? Yeah, this is It's horrible that this happened. So you got some Arkansas legislators talking about it. You got Attorney General Tim Griffin talking about it. We have yet to hear anything from Governor Sanders, Lieutenant Governor Rutledge, U.S. Senators Tom Cotton, John Bozeman, U.S. Representative French Hill, Bruce Westerman, Steve Womack, or Rick Crawford. Now, if somebody said something here in the last little bit and I missed it, you know, you let me know. 501-823-0965. But y'all, it's been a year, right? It's been a year. So we're going to get to the death threat, speaking of which, against a U.S. senator coming up. But I got to say a little something about what's going on with the political persecution of former President Trump and who knows, maybe future President Trump. I got to say a little something about that. So my buddy Mike Davis, who clerked for Justice Gorsuch years ago, and who also was the guy who helped Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa get so many good people on federal courts. He was like chief counsel for nominations for the Senate Judiciary Committee when Grassley was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So Mike Davis has a summary of what they're trying to do to Trump right now. Number one, Soros-funded Manhattan Democrat DA Alvin Bragg campaigned on prosecuting Trump, right? Number two, former senior Biden DOJ Democrat political appointee Matthew Colangelo deployed to Alvin Bragg's office to bring unprecedented charges based upon a bogus theory during an election year after the prior Manhattan DA, U.S. Attorney, Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself declined. Number three, Democrat Manhattan Judge Juan Merchan, who donated to Joseph Robinette Biden and another anti-Trump cause in 2020, unlawfully refuses to recuse and even ordered clearly illegal, unconstitutional gag orders on a criminal defendant after Trump properly raised evidence. Judge Merchan's adult Democrat operative daughter, Lauren, has raised nearly $100 million off her father's criminal trial of Trump. Number four, Judge Merchan rigged the juror questionnaire against Trump and is seating clearly biased anti-Trump Democrat jurors. Last but not least, number five, Bragg, Colangelo, and Judge Merchan are threatening to jail Trump if he exercises his First, Sixth, and 14th Amendment constitutional rights to merely talk about this evidence of clear judicial bias. Yeah, Trump has now announced that the judge is not even going to let him attend his own son's high school graduation. It's outrageous. Just like that unconstitutional, illegal FBI raid of Trump's home, Mar-a-Lago. It's outrageous. He could declassify anything he wanted to. It's outrageous. I mean, Biden had all kinds of classified documents. And see, the only person that declassifies stuff is the president. But Biden's got stuff going back to the 70s. A U.S. senator cannot declassify classified documents. Neither can a vice president. But they're not doing anything to to J.R. Biden, are they? Now, I spoke at length yesterday about this whole, what they call lectern gate, this whole podium thing, the audit with Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders here in Arkansas. And I said, look, regardless of what the audit says, and the audit, I mean, was asked for by a Republican member of the legislature, but regardless of what the audit says, a person or persons are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law in this country. And a buddy of mine called me last night and said, hey, we're not in a court of law. If I think laws are broken, I'm not violating anybody's constitutional right for having that opinion. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, we all know OJ killed his wife and that guy, even though he's found not guilty. You know, I get that. So the point I was trying to make is, regardless of whether you think laws were broken or not, regardless of whether you think the governor didn't break any laws, but maybe some people on her staff played some fancy footwork and may have, or regardless of whether you think nobody did anything wrong, the point about being presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law is that unless there are indictments and unless somebody's actually found guilty in court, then there are probably not going to be any legal ramifications for whatever was done or not done. Now, the problem you run into, though, as I'm coming on the heels of talking about the fact that there is obviously political persecution, these legal prosecutions of Trump are obviously politically motivated. A lot of the governor's fans here in Arkansas see her through the lens of Trump. A lot of people who are big supporters of Governor Sanders might not even be big fans of her dad, but they just love her because she worked for Trump. And so the fact that there's anything going on as far as an audit of a purchase of a lectern and the whole thing being referred to a prosecuting attorney, they just see as kind of an outgrowth of liberals trying to get Trump supporters. Okay? I mean, that's just the way some people see it. And the guy that was that started the Freedom of Information Act requests about this last fall is a guy named Matt Campbell. He has something called Blue Hog Report. He's an attorney. He does a blog. He now is a reporter for the Arkansas Times. So he's a liberal. And so those of us who are conservatives are probably going to disagree with him on just about everything. I mean, when the governor tried to weaken our Freedom of Information Act in a special session last September, we're like, okay, wait, we agree with Matt Campbell on something? Well, mark your calendar. That's not going to happen very often. So anyway, I say all that to say this. Matt Campbell's out on Twitter today saying Sarah Sanders wanted a lectern similar to the one at her inauguration, but 5 inches shorter. Why couldn't one of the incompetents in her office just say that to a local woodworker instead of paying Sarah's friend, Virginia Beckett, $2,500 in a consulting fee to fail to relay that message to the craftsmen in New York? Well, I mean, that's a good question, I guess. Because the podium didn't cost $19,000. We found out that a lot of hidden charges in there. I don't know why anybody needs a $2,500 consulting fee to consult on buying a podium and then getting it the wrong size. But, you know, it's just one of those things, man. We all make mistakes, right? I mean, except for yours truly and producer Steve, we don't make mistakes, but everybody else. I'm kidding. I'm joking, okay? We all make mistakes. Every last cotton-picking one of us. Okay, so you've got the House Subcommittee on Oversight held a hearing this morning with National Guard whistleblowers who stepped forward, this U.S. House, stepped forward to correct the media lies and dishonest narrative on the January 6th protests and riots. Four members of the National Guard testified this morning they were ready to be deployed on January 6, 2021 to the Capitol, but the Pentagon held them back. The Pentagon. And this directly brings General Thoroughly Modern Milley's actions into question. National Guard whistleblowers, Command Sergeant Major Michael E. Brooks, Colonel Earl G. Matthews, Aaron Dean, retired, and Captain Timothy Nick stepped forward this morning to correct the record on January 6. So that's out there. The Gateway Pundit reporting on it. Former Speaker Pelosi, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser were both warned about the security situation prior to January 6th. Both of them turned down National Guard troops in the U.S. Capitol on that day. Pelosi and Mayor Bowser turned down thousands of National Guard troops at the Capitol January 6th for political reasons. Christopher Wray's FBI also refused to notify the Trump administration and his cabinet secretaries that they believed there could be violence like the mass protests at the Capitol that took place that day. Well, a lot of the violence was because the cops started shooting flashbang grenades and tear gas canisters at peaceful protesters. That's a whole other show. There's this Fisher case before the Supreme Court, in which Fisher versus USA, and the lawyer for this Fisher guy is trying to point out the fact that the DOJ and these liberal judges in Washington are going way overboard. Way overboard. And I want to talk about this because it's so hypocritical. There's not equal justice in our country. You probably know this. But there are a lot of liberals who do a lot of violent things, and there's no enhancement for these people, none whatsoever. And yet on this Fisher guy, oh yeah. And so I think it was Gorsuch, I believe it was Gorsuch, that really made a case about this. And just asked the Solicitor General, this Prelogar woman, Biden Solicitor General, about a bunch of different cases. And, you know, would this qualify? Would that qualify? Why wouldn't this qualify? Why wouldn't that qualify? And just stumped her. So if the Fisher case, and we're going to keep watching it for you, but if the Fisher case is successful, then a lot of January 6th prosecutions would be overturned. And, you know, don't be surprised. I hope that's the case. Now, coming up, we got to talk about the mainstream media ignoring a death threat to a U.S. senator from Arkansas. And the Dem Gaz has a real good article on it. And we got the Salem Media has a Dem Gaz account. And producer Steve pulled it up on this this iPad. And the iPad went dark, and it won't let me back in. It says, press home to get in. And I don't see a home to press. So maybe while I'm doing my press home to open. Yep. Where's home? Is that home? Oh, there it is. All right. I keep on refreshing it. Anyway, yeah. The mainstream media, including the Dem Gaz, is jumping all over Senator Tom Cotton, and nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to talk about the death threat against Senator Cotton. But I will, because I'm the guy that talks about the elephant in the room. I'm the guy that reads between the lines. I'm the guy that brings out this stuff. And I apologize if it sounds like I'm blowing my own horn, because we know that God's word says, let another man praise you. I'm not trying to praise myself. This is the only thing I know how to do. Know what I'm saying, Holmes? I don't know how to change the oil in the car. I don't know how to do a lot of things. Somehow, by the grace of God, I kind of backed into doing this. And I've been doing a podcast for 2.5 years at DocWashmer.com, because Cumulus Media fired me for not getting the clot shot. And now God has opened the door for me to be back on 101.1 The Answer. So here we are. But I will speak the truth in love and let the chips fall where they may. And I'm going to tell you what's got the mainstream media all worked up about Senator Tom Cotton, and then I'll tell you about the death threat that everybody's ignoring, and which is just outrageous to me. All right, so that is coming up straight ahead on a 101.1 The Answer. Now, there's an old country song by a guy named Tracy Lawrence called You Find Out Who Your Friends Are. And when I was fired by Cumulus Media in October 2021, because I wouldn't go along with the clot shot, the COVID vaccine mandate, I definitely found out who my friends are. Now, a buddy of mine named Eddie Joe Williams contacted me, and he told me, hey, a friend of mine named Mitch Ward, who owns Red River Auto, he asked me to find out if it'd be okay if I gave Mitch your cell number, and I said, well, sure. Next thing I knew, I was meeting face-to-face with Mitch Ward, owner of Red River Dealerships in Cabot, Malvern, Heber Springs, Wynn, Arkansas. Mitch told me that not only did he want to advertise on my podcast at DocWashburn.com, but when he found out Cumulus had fired me for refusing to get the clot shot, he pulled all of his advertising off of all their music stations. He said, now, the only reason I never advertise with you on the talk radio station is because in the 7+ years you were at Cumulus, nobody ever brought me a sales package to advertise on your show. I'm like, oh, good grief. Oh, you're kidding me. You're killing me. Anyway, but that got my attention. So he became an advertiser on DocWashmer.com, my podcast. So a couple of months later, I was rear-ended on Colonel Glenn Road, sitting waiting for a light to turn, by a guy who didn't even tap his brake. My car was just completely totaled. Well, you know where I went to get my next car. That was easy. Red River. I mean, these are the nicest folks I've ever met at a car dealership. They're honest. They take care of you. I go there for all my service. The website's redriverauto.com. Check them out online. Better yet, just go see them. Go see them at the lot in Cabot. Tell them Doc Washburn sent you. RedRiverAuto.com. Now, a few weeks ago, my wife and I found out our daughter had lost so much weight, she was down to just 94 pounds. She got nauseous no matter what she tried to eat. She had to quit work because she got dizzy just trying to stand up. Her doctor had told her she had a hiatal hernia and just sent her on home. Sorry. Nothing we could do to help you. So I told my wife, if we don't try to help Holly, she's going to die. And, of course, my wife agreed. She's known Holly a lot longer than I have. So we took our daughter to see our friend, Dr. J.R. Crabtree, the Arkansas Upper Cervical Center, and he did help her. And she did stop getting nauseous when she ate. And she did start gaining weight. And she did get back to work. I'm going to tell you something, because I've told people about this for almost 10 years now. What Dr. Crabtree does is the best kept secret in American healthcare. And it can help a lot of different things other than how he helped my daughter. Let me explain. Your skull weighs somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds. It rests on the top bone of your spinal column, the atlas, or C1, which only weighs 2 ounces. If that atlas gets out of alignment, your whole spinal column can get kinked up like a chain. When that happens, your central nervous system can't send out the signals to different parts of your body as God designed it to do. It's obstructed. Dr. Crabtree takes x-rays of your head and neck to find out if your atlas is out of alignment, and if it is, he gets it back in line, and he saved our daughter's life. Does that sound like something you might need? You look in a family picture and you cocked your head to one side or the other because that's how it feels normal. That's how you feel comfortable. You probably need to get your atlas adjusted. To find out more, go to their website, turnmypoweron.com. Last but not least, I'm proud to have Colonel Conrad Reynolds, and AVII is a sponsor of the Doc Washburn Show. AVII is the America Voter Integrity Initiative. Now, in Arkansas, we have a real problem with the way we vote. Touchscreen voting computers cannot be trusted. The cyber security experts and voting experts that Congress calls on all agree that we need hand-marked paper ballots that are filled out in person at the local precinct. The experts also agree that electronic tabulators cannot be blindly trusted to be accurate when counting our votes. They all agree that there must be a hand count audit of all races before an election is certified. Now, why have the citizens of Arkansas never been asked if they want to use voting computers? You know, I don't know if you heard about this, but a recent Rasmussen poll showed that nearly 60% of all Arkansans want hand-marked paper ballots. You heard about that? You want to find out more about what you can do? Visit AVII.org. Colonel Conrad Reynolds and AVII are working hard to restore trust, transparency, accountability, and accuracy to Arkansas elections. Remember to visit AV as in Victor, AVII.org. Yo, 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 what up, what up? 101.1, The Answer. Doc Washburn on a Wednesday night. Look, y'all know that the mainstream media tends to pick the wrong side. All right? I'm looking at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Alex Thomas is the writer on this. Never heard of him. Dateline Washington. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas, is standing by comments regarding pro-Palestinian demonstrations blocking traffic in multiple major American cities, in which the senator encouraged private citizens to, quote, take matters into their own hands, unquote, in removing protesters. Now, why do you think that they position the issue that way? He's standing by his comments. Well, because they're implying that, of course, you, as a reasonable American, would disagree with the comments. Why is the issue positioned this way instead of the issue positioned, motorists in major American cities are furious with people blocking their access or egress to major American highways? And, oh, by the way, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is one of the people who said, well, maybe they should do this. Why do you think that is? Now, if you're one of these people who thinks that mainstream media only puts opinion on the editorial/opinion pages, and they would never let opinion somehow surreptitiously creep into what should be straight reporting, if you're one of those people who believes that, allow me to address you here for a moment. Oh, my sweet summer child. I hope and pray that it's someday you will be able to come out from under the ether of your naivete. You gotta be kidding, right? Come on, man. Meanwhile, back to the article from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, or as we affectionately call them, the Demgaz. The senator's initial comments Monday on Fox News stemmed from protests that shut down traffic in Chicago, San Francisco, New York City, and Seattle. Yeah, see, that's the thing. The protesters need to shut down traffic in big blue cities where almost everybody votes Democrat. That will, because, I mean, what? I mean, who was that guy? Was it Jason Aldean said, try that in a small town? Try shutting down traffic in front of the Fatburger in Greenbrier. I don't think it's going to work. I just don't think. Oh, yeah, they'll drag him in Florida. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there were people in Florida that tried to protest.
Now, can they hear you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The motorists went and stopped, got out of their cars, and dragged them over to the sidewalk.
Sure.
Open up room.
Sure. Yeah. Try to stop traffic in front of the Bear Creek Country Store. I can't say it. It's not. Okay. It's not Perrin, but it's right next to Perrin. Ferndale. Yeah. Try to stop traffic in front of the Bear Creek Country Store in Ferndale. That's not going to work. Them good old boys will say, y'all made a big mistake today. No, I'm not going to say it exactly what they would do, because it's different depending upon who's driving the truck, right? But we put it politely, mess around and find out, right? Anyway, so Center's initial comments Monday on Fox News stemmed from protests that shut down traffic in Chicago, San Francisco, New York City, and Seattle, with demonstrators hoping to call attention to Palestinians amid the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. Protesters have pushed for a ceasefire in the conflict as the Israeli military continues its efforts in the Gaza Strip. Well, of course, because they're standing with the mass murderers. Tom Cotton expressed his empathy for people stuck in traffic and law enforcement responding to the protesters. describing the demonstrations as anti-Semitic pro-Hamas activism. Well, that's exactly what the protests are. Tom Cotton of Little Rock. Wait, I thought he's from Dardanelle. Who is this Alex Thomas over the Dem Gas? Come on, man. Seriously? Alex, you're making it too easy for me, bruh. I mean, you ought to make me work for it. Tom Cotton of Little Rock. Come on, man. Cotton said, and I quote, if something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's the way we would handle it. Pretty good quote there. In Arkansas, that's not the end of the quote. No, what they did was they made a new paragraph right in the middle of a sentence. Alex, come on, bro. Make me work for it. But I think that's the way we would handle it in Arkansas. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters into their own hands. Cotton later posted a similar message on social media through his campaign accounts, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what Alex Thomas over the Dem Gas don't want to tell you is about the death threat. There's this guy on Twitter, Hassan Piker. He calls himself Hassanabi. He is a Turkish-American online streamer, YouTube, and left-wing political commentator. If you've ever heard of the Young Turks, liberal podcast with Cenk Uygur. Cenk is his uncle, apparently. Guy's 32 years old, thinks that the United States deserved to get hit on 9/11. So, what Hassan Piker did was he responded to Tom Cotton's tweet about this with a picture of a homemade gun. Now, Tom Cotton saying, I encourage people who get stuck behind the pro-Hamas mobs blocking traffic, take matters into your own hands to get them out of the way. That's on Twitter. And so this Hassan Piker guy has a picture of a homemade gun, and it's a description. It's about 20 centimeters this way, about 40 centimeters that way. Well, okay, first of all, the guy's using the metric system, so you know you can't trust him even before you find out he thinks we deserve 9/11. Electrical cord, 6 pellet capsule, vinyl tape, metal pipes, battery, triggers, board. And so my boy Ian Miles Chung said, for context, this is the homemade weapon an assassin used to kill former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. So Hassan Piker up in his thing is calling for political violence against Senator Tom Cotton. Now, my question is, since Twitter just suspended me for a week and a half, where's the suspension for Hassanabi? Because I bet you they didn't spend homeboy. I bet you buddy is free and clear. They're not going to touch him. You know what I'm saying, Holmes? Yep. Not going to touch him with his 1.4 million followers. Oh, wait. Why did I get suspended? I'll tell you. Because I saw a video of one of the top dudes on Hamas, one of their leaders, right? I said, hey, IDF, That's Israeli Defense Force. Don't you think this guy deserves a heat-seeking missile? And immediately I was suspended. And they got this thing they go through, standard operating procedure. Now, if you think you're suspended improperly, you can appeal, and we'll answer your appeal ASAP. I'm like, okay, well, look, you let people call for the eradication of Israel all the time, and that's cool. You don't suspend those guys. Whereas, on the other hand, I'm just encouraging them to take out the leader of the terrorist group that killed over 1,200 of them on October 7th, so I'm doing something wrong. I just need a little clarification here. Thank you for your appeal. We'll address it ASAP. They never did. And so my wife's Twitter account was tweeting out an article out of Jihad Watch about me being suspended and them not suspending the other folks. Went on my phone this afternoon, all of a sudden, I'm unsuspended. So I'm thankful. I don't know where the time goes. People keep on telling me on Facebook, Doc, you need more than an hour. I'm like, okay, well, this is a start. God opened this door. Who knows? Maybe he'll eventually open another door. So we would be thankful for that. Anyway, look forward to being back with you guys tomorrow night. You've been listening to episode 2 of the all-new Doc Washburn Show, 101.1 The Answer. Today's show has been produced by Tim Terrible, directed by Mick Messy. It's been a terribly messy production. Portions of today's program will be taken overseas and dropped. If you'd like a transcript of today's show, simply tear the roof off a Rolls-Royce panel truck, send it to Mansour's Computer Solutions, 7th floor of the Ephemeral B. Smoot Building, Whitehall, Arkansas, in care of Sheriff Mansour, Sempier of the 10th. And if you'd like to hear the show again, just go to docwashburn.com.